My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about...
Hi, friends. Welcome to Why Bloody Valentine. I'm Rich, and I'm here with Carolyn.
Hi.
And we just watched X.
X gonna give it to you. Gonna give it to you.
And X gave it to me, because, whew.
He gave it to you?
Well, this movie gave it to me.
Okay.
I'm excited. I enjoyed this. Just get it right out of the way, right up top. I like this fucking movie. So, I'm excited to talk about it.
It was traumatizing for me.
Well, yeah, it jump scared the shit out of you.
It did.
So we'll just right off the top get into them. There was a time where I thought we were going to have more jump scares of Carolyn in this movie than we had deaths.
That's bullshit.
It didn't turn out that way, but it was close. We had, and there's some extracurricular stuff in here.
There some jump scares before there was even any kills?
Yeah. So, six boobs. Seven kills. Six jump scares. Carolyn was jump scared six times in this movie. Some real bad ones. Like,
I screamed once.
Yeah. Very noticeable. No jump scares on me because I don't get scared.
Well, you're too busy watching me watch the movie, apparently.
One dead cow. Six butts.
Three cocks.
Okay. But one of them was an actual rooster. Other than that, there were two dicks. So the counts are
two
out
dicks,
of the way.
Two dicks, three cocks.
Yes. Two big black cocks, too.
That one.
That traumatized you.
I didn't like the way you were looking at me.
So the movie about making a porno has less boobs than Carrie, a movie about a prom. That's it's odd.
Those were dirty pillows.
Dirty pillows, these were boobs.
Yeah.
Right. First up, the cast. The cast is great in this, and they're small. It's a very small cast. We're still not going over all of
them.
That
one guy was not that small.
No. No, he was not. That was Kid Cudi. He's a rapper. I don't know if his dick's really that big, but holy fucking shit. You ready for a surprise?
What?
We're going to start off with Mia Goth, okay? She does double duty in this movie as both Maxine and Pearl. So she is Maxine and the old lady. So she is both the old lady and the girl that the old lady is in love with.
What?
Yes. I did not want to say it during the movie.
So she killed her own self?
Yes. All those times you said you didn't want to see the old lady boobies, you had already seen them. Because you've seen Mia Goth's.
They dressed her as an old lady?
Yes.
They did all of that to her?
Yes.
Like with makeup and shit?
Yes.
Ew.
Yes.
Wow. And she killed herself.
Yes. And she molested herself.
Oh, my God.
And she watched herself. Well, that's not that weird, I guess.
Yeah. It's just a mirror. It's
yeah. Mia Goth is definitely most well known for this, but she is in the prequel Pearl, where she plays Pearl.
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw her as the prequel one.
And she will be in the upcoming sequel as Maxine.
Wait. Why?
Because she's Maxine.
But wouldn't Maxine just play Maxine?
No. Mia Goth is Maxine.
So then she didn't die? Is she the one that got away?
Yes.
Why did she kill herself?
Yeah, well, technically she killed Pearl. That was her. She was the same actress.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So yes, she will be in all three of these movies.
Huh.
Next up is Jenna Ortega, who is simply in everything now, but in this, she's Lorraine. She's Wednesday Addams. She's been in both Scream 5 and 6. She's in the new Beetlejuice, two Insidious movies, on and on and on. She's pretty clearly the most famous horror actress right now. Without a doubt. She's everywhere. You'll know Brittany Snow. She played Bobby Lane in this. The blondie.
Okay.
She was in Pitch Perfect 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
She was also in the great, underrated, possibly the best rom-com there is. Well, top five. I don't even know if it's really a rom-com. John Tucker Must Die.
Oh, God.
You don't love that movie?
It's not on my list.
I love that movie. And like we said, Kid Cudi's in it. He plays Jackson Hole, but he's far more famous as a rapper than an actor.
He's the black guy with the big dick?
Yes.
Okay.
That's enough of the cast. I try to stick to three cast members, but we technically hit five because we went with Kid Cudi, but we barely talked about him. And Mia Goth is on there twice. On to the film. And before we get into it, it's crazy outside. So if you hear any craziness in the background,
we got lots of extra kids here.
Just ignore it. Just ignore it. Crickets chirping, flies buzzing, an old farmhouse. Very, very, very Texas Chainsaw Massacre feel to this and the whole movie. And I'm going to get it out right away. My love of Texas Chainsaw Massacre is pretty well known. If you listen to the podcast or even talk to me about movies, it's going to come up how much I love that movie. If we have any in-depth conversation about movies or what I like, that is coming up. 100% of the time, that's coming up. Ghostbusters is coming up. Terminator 2 is coming up. That's just one of them that's coming up. Ty West does an amazing job making this movie feel like it was filmed in the 70s. This seemed like it was actually in the 70s. It looked a little shitty. It was really well done. Some films blatantly rip off Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I think they suffer for it. This doesn't do that, I don't think. It seems like more of a love letter to horror in general and Texas Chainsaw Massacre in particular. Mm-hmm. But it's not a ripoff of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And it's also why I can't stand remake after remake after remake after remake of fucking movies. Because you can take, like, the germ of an idea. So you can be inspired by Texas Chainsaw Massacre to make a movie. And then you can just go ahead, pay homage to it or whatever, and just make your own movie. Like, that pays homage to that. Like, a love letter to that. Mm-hmm. But not that. You don't have to make that Rob Zombie.
Yeah, don't remake
you can make
it.
Something else. Yeah. And then you can expand it from there. This is a whole thing now. Pearl takes place in what looks like the fucking 50s or something. We haven't watched it yet. And Maxine takes place in the 80s. It's not out, so we obviously haven't watched that yet. So, kind of like the Fear Street movies did, these are all going to be period pieces. And I expect them to all be very well done, like this one was.
Fear Street. That's the one I was trying to think of earlier. When I said that it was like kids in three separate movies and different timelines.
Ah, yeah. So I think this is how it's done. Even if you have to fight the urge to remake shit and take like that germ of an idea of what Texas Chainsaw Massacre was and make your own thing, just inspired by it in some way or whatever. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre isn't the only inspiration for this movie, which they'll explain in the fucking movie, which was awesome. I can't wait till we get to that part. This is better than every single Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, except the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original one. It's better than every single one of them.
You really like this movie.
Mm-hmm. And I really like that you can kind of tell that dude's a fan of the movie. It meant something to him. He wanted to make something similar, but he didn't just fucking make the same goddamn movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sick of remakes of everything. And shit like this just kind of proves you can take that original idea and make something your own out of it. Much better. Sheriff arrives at what appears to be a murder. So maybe this is the end of the movie at the beginning because this looks like a massacre. That's what it was. This is what I figured it was, that we were getting the end, and then we were going to work back to that part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. Which is fine, I like that, as long as there's not a whole bunch of jumping around. You can start at the end, do the whole 24 hours earlier thing,
mm-hmm.
and then get back to this point. That's fine. He enters the home, there's a Hellfire and Brimstone Preacher on TV, who will be on TV a lot in this movie. Down to the basement we go at the behest of a deputy. They see something shocking and appalling, but we don't see it yet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll eventually see it. We don't see it yet. We cut to cocaine being cut on a mirror. So we cut to the cut of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine is snorting it. This is 24 hours earlier. So we've got a short time frame. This movie all happens in a 24-hour period. Wayne tells her to giddy up. They're totally fucking each other. Like, that's her boyfriend. Time is money, and Maxine is sure she's a fucking sex symbol. She says it. So far, so good. We got drugs, hot girls. This is looking like a winner.
Blood.
Yes. We don't know what that is yet. We will find out. They leave the burlesque bar and hit the road, baby. So my dad's step aunt was a famous burlesque dancer.
Okay.
So, like, I have in my family just world famous burlesque dancer. What do you think of that?
Well, I have murderers in my family.
Not world famous ones.
No, not world famous.
Just county famous. County law. Podcast famous.
Yeah.
And people all around the world have listened to our podcast, so maybe world famous now.
There you go.
There we go. Holy shit.
And I got more murderers in my family than you got burlesque people in yours.
I got one.
Yeah. I got one. At least three.
The Farmer's Daughter. That's what they're going to call the film. They're guerrilla filmmakers. They're like indie kids with a dream. I respect the hustle. So what we got here is six people in a van. And of course, like any great 70s, 80s horror movie, we've got to stop at some dumpy fucking general store. That is a must.
And there's no seats in this van. They're literally just riding around like in a utility van.
Right on the floor.
On the floor.
That's not a utility van. That's the plowing crew van. So it says on the side.
Plow. It didn't say crew. It was something else. Plowing. What did it say?
Plowing service.
Yeah, plowing service.
The original Bang Bus, baby. So what it looks like is we have a male director, two female cast members, an executive producer, a male cast member, and the sound girl, which is Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have. The Kid Cudi's going to do all the fucking here, and these two girls are going to take turns.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is for production.
Both farmers' daughters.
Yes. And we got this fucking preacher on TV again. He's on here all the time. You even get a reveal for him. You think he's not even going to be important. So we're back on the road. We got some cows, and there's a bad wreck. One dead cow.
Yeah, it was nasty.
Nasty, gross. They run over. It's like...
guts and stuff.
Guts,
yeah.
And fucking blood. It's disgusting. This movie's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
Which I'm in for. I like it.
Ugh.
We arrive at the farmhouse, and this is the movie set. Wayne meets with the owner. Bobby and Jackson are making out. This offends young Lorraine because it's smut. She is seemingly uncomfortable making this movie at this point.
Yeah, and they haven't even had sex yet, but yeah. She's kind of prudish.
Yeah.
And then there's a shotgun in the dude's face.
Right. This is when we meet Howard, a very skeptical man. He has a shotgun trained right on Wayne.
So was he a real old man?
I think so.
But she was not a real old lady.
No, it was Mia Goth.
I'm so disgusted.
Steven Yeun played Howard. He is 66 years old. So not like obscenely old, but way older.
Yeah.
He was in Deathgasm, which is awesome.
But not as old as they... I mean, they definitely did some work on him for this.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a normal fucking human being.
Ew. Look. I don't like it. I'm traumatized from this movie.
Good thing for Wayne, he does eventually remember their conversation from Tuesday. That shotgun wasn't even loaded. It's usually enough just to scare you off. In fact, Wayne keeps one just like that in his car.
Yeah, which... that was some foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. It's a good movie. Maxine notices someone staring out the windows, and it gives her the heebie-jeebies. She doesn't like people staring at her. This is also...
foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing and a theme throughout the movie.
Yeah.
She says it multiple times that she doesn't like people staring at her.
It's really weird because she's making a porn.
Correct. And she thinks she's a sex symbol, which requires people to stare at
her. People to look at her.
Yes. Everything seems good, though. Howard shows him their new digs. Might have emphysema, you think?
Yeah, he got something.
Yeah, it's not good for him.
Then he wasn't happy there was so many people there.
No, he does not like Wayne or anyone else. He does take their money.
He don't like the looks of them.
No. his wife next door, and he demands discretion.
And he says next door, but it is at least 2 acres away.
It's pretty fucking far. They could have driven there from the front of the house.
Yes.
Instead of walked and carried all that shit. Lorraine is also concerned that he does not know what's happening here, the old man. He doesn't know that they're doing this. They're doing this on the sly. But it's time to film. We've got boobs and sex. So first we see Bobby's boobs. Only one.
We only see one.
Every time we see her.
Every time we see her.
Only like, the right
she
boob.
Only has her right tit.
She's seemingly very self-conscious about that left tit.
Yeah.
So that's why we have an odd number of boobs in this movie. Because of her constantly only showing her right boob.
Mm-hmm.
We also have sex. This is not discreet at all. In fact, it's extremely loud. There's no discretion whatsoever.
Well, it was exaggerated.
Right, but it was loud as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Maxine dressed in nothing but overalls and boots, going for a cigarette and a stroll. Like, she's walking past, the curtains are open and all. It is the opposite of discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine's going to soak her feet in the pond, but there's somebody creeping. Somebody with a giant white afro, which she never has that afro again. She lets her hair down later.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to look sexy, I'm assuming.
Ew.
She's pretty gross all the time.
God, I'm so traumatized.
Maxine does a little skinny dipping. Wayne is pumped because RJ is filming it like cinema, not porn. So this is like beyond anything he could have possibly imagined.
Yes, he's very impressed with the sex abilities.
Yeah. Maxine's just floating naked in the pond, and there's a gator in these parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a coming. She gets out just in time.
Mm-hmm. Very suspenseful.
Yeah, we get to see a butt. Lots of butts in this movie.
Butts and boobs.
Butts and boobs.
Boobs and butts.
Back to filming. Maxine is also back. Old lady wants her to come hither. She does this move. You can see me with my finger. Just picturing her.
Yeah, I thought she was flipping her off at first, but apparently no. It was the other finger.
Yeah, she wanted her to come. She was doing the whole index.
Oh, she wanted her to come.
Yeah. I don't know if she wanted her to come as much as she wanted her to make her come.
Well, they're the same person, so.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if she was always, like, bi or whatever in the prequel. What's going on with that? Because she's totally into this chick. Maxine, for her part, does go to the house. The house is disgusting. There's dishes and flies everywhere. It is fucking gross. And the old lady offers up some lemonade.
Yeah, in a kitchen like that, I don't want to drink that lemonade. Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Lynn in the porno also offers lemonade. So we have like the same thing going on in two different places. One fake, one real. This girl slams the lemonade though.
Yeah, because she wants to leave.
Yeah, she fucking chugs it. So just at the kitchen table, just slamming fucking lemonade. And they can't show them both at the same time ever because they're the other one.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Did you pick up on the fact that they never showed them both at the same time?
I did think it was weird in the bed scene.
How you never saw their full face either time.
Right. I thought that was weird, but I didn't put two and two together. They were the same fucking person. Now it's very clear.
Yeah. See, that's the sort of thing I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to ruin it.
Did you know at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've known. I knew that before I even picked the movie. Especially since I knew that Pearl was out, and she plays Pearl. So, yeah, I knew that. But I wanted you guys to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You and the assistant, who probably does not know as we're speaking about it.
Nope, she won't. She'll find out Monday.
Monday. And she'll be like, oh my god, I knew it. You think?
No, she probably won't even act like she cares. She really downplays some of that stuff.
It's no fun.
She only really upplays it if you make a mistake.
Yeah, what the fuck's that all about?
Because it's fun.
Like, if I started calling Pearl Opal or something, I'm sure I'd fucking hear about it.
Yeah.
So Pearl's seemingly in the Maxine. She rubs her finger on her belly, like her rib area. But Howard has returned, so Maxine has to sneak away.
Yeah, she says, it'll be our secret. She's like, fucking what, Will?
Yeah.
You weirdo.
Yeah, what? Did you drink the lemonade? Like, what's the secret? I didn't do anything. She runs across the field to safety, and Wayne yells, scaring the fuck out of you. This is the one you screamed at, I think.
The second one was the one I screamed at. I don't know if That was the second
full
one.
On jump scare. It was more violent than the earthquake we had earlier that day. Pennsylvania earthquake. Yeah. I was laying in bed and I'm just laying there and all of a sudden like the headboard starts rocking and like hitting the wall and I'm like, the fucking cat stuck under the bed or something. And then I'm like, whatever, there's no cat in here, whatever that was. Maybe it was the neighbor over there doing whatever fucking construction
moving the
he
whole
does.
Wall.
Yeah. And then I get a message from our assistant. She's like, oh my God, I just felt an earthquake. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. And then I sit here for like 5 minutes. I'm like, wait a minute.
I felt an earthquake.
I think I might have felt the earthquake too.
I did not. I was in a big giant warehouse building.
Do you know how I confirmed it? Because I felt it right as I started a movie. So I paused the movie to see how many minutes into the movie I was. And then went back to see when the earthquake happened. And it was like almost exactly, like within a minute or two. I'm like, wow, holy fucking shit, it was the earthquake. But Pearl is stupid and she doesn't clean up both glasses. So he knows. He knows someone was there. Now it's Maxine's time to shine. They're using the barn for this. Again, not even remotely discreet. I don't even know if you're allowed to be in a barn.
Nope. And the barn doors are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Lights are all on.
Yep, but she's a milkmaid. So you need milk and cows. No sex yet, because we got to look at some creepy dolls. Fucking, why are dolls so goddamn creepy?
I don't know, but especially porcelain ones.
Yeah, they're the worst. I hate it. It makes no sense why they're so creepy.
Why were they even in the movie? Like, they didn't...
That is the reason, because they're fucking creepy.
Okay.
Like, that's the only reason. Pearl's in her room brushing her dead hair and applying makeup. Like, it is gross listening to the brush go through her hair.
Yeah.
Every time they try to make something gross, they do.
Yeah.
Even the littlest thing. Back to porno. Maxine makes good on giving him a ride, that's for sure. And again, there's zero discretion here. They did not listen. Bobby Lynn is jealous of the performance. Lorraine is interested in the performance. Pearl peering through the window, imagining it's her giving the ride.
Ugh.
So she's probably flicking the bean or something out there.
No, stop. Ew.
Sorry. Just giving people an idea of what happened in this movie.
It was so bad.
Pearl returns home to Howard and like...
begs him to touch her?
Yeah, I'm like so worried they're going to fuck the whole entire movie. Not as worried as you were. But I'm like, oh God, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Yeah, he very much rejects her. He's like, my heart, Pearl.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't give a fuck about your heart.
No, I give a fuck
it's
about
like my bean.
About that cock.
Like
that old man cock.
There's things that they could do without using his dick if it can't work.
Yeah, like he can use his fucking fingers and his tongue.
Yeah. Like
good to go.
If she's got needs, he can meet them. Even if he has to not use his penis.
Yeah.
But he don't even try. He's like, no, leave me alone.
Yeah, I wonder what the dynamics of that are, like, because he ostensibly still seemingly might want to have sex. He just thinks he can't. So, like, is it...
Viagra. See Alice.
Yeah.
Tadalafil.
Yep. I don't know. I wonder what kind of problems it would cause him only pleasing her and getting no satisfaction whatsoever.
Well, they're really old and they're in that.
You have to get in a different state of mind for that. You got to be much more spiritual.
Spiritual?
Yeah, you gotta be very much in the just pleasing someone else.
Can't you just love them?
Sure. And I think he does, weirdly.
But there's also people that like have like... I don't even know if you would call it a kink, but they have like they like pleasure-based stuff and giving other people pleasure and they get off on that.
Yeah.
So, like, if you found that type of person.
Not, I'm assuming here fucking Farmer Howard ain't that guy.
No, that's what I'm, that's where I was going, was they are of the generation that women should only please men. They shouldn't even orgasm.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't, I
she
do,
should
I,
clean that kitchen, cook dinner for him.
Someone should clean that and, fucking kitchen. Holy shit.
And if he has needs, she should meet them, but she should never have any. She definitely shouldn't speak them.
I don't get that from this guy.
But they're of that generation.
Right, they are, but they have like a couple tender moments.
Yeah, he did say that he wants to.
And his rage
but he
is
can't.
His rage is mostly wrapped up in her feelings. He's not doing this because he's mad at them. He's doing this because of how they make her feel.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think he would fall into that. I think he'd like to fuck her if he could.
He just hasn't even considered that he could do other things? Or she just wants that dick?
Yeah, I don't know. She doesn't just want that dick because she wants Maxine. Maxine ain't got no dick.
Yeah.
Maxine is proud, though. She's just strutting around the house to Loretta Lynn. And Lorraine has a question. Isn't it strange to watch his girl fuck? And it's not real life. As long as the camera's running, it doesn't matter. They're just acting.
Yeah, and they all have this conversation. They all put into it except Maxine.
Mm-hmm.
No. Is that who it is? No. Lorraine. Who's the one that's the prudish one?
Lorraine.
Okay.
She just listens.
Lorraine's just listening, but they're all kind of talking to her. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them are talking about how it's just sex.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose who you love or something, not choose who you have sex. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Everybody likes sex. One day we'll all be too old to fuck, like poor Howard up on the fucking hill there. And they toast to perverts. Hear, hear.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine admits she liked what she saw today. They're basically just sitting around drinking and singing Landslide after a hard day of being actors.
And we all had a conversation too about how it's so weird to love more than one person. That's crazy.
Yes.
How could you even think that, or especially have sex with multiple people? What? That's weird.
But we actually kind of disagreed.
Yeah, I didn't think it was weird, and you think it is weird.
It is weird.
How can something that we do on a weekly basis for the last 2 years be weird anymore?
To us, it's not. To the world in general, it is. Like, that's weird. Most people don't do it.
Well, don't say world, because you don't know how it is in other countries.
Most everyone on the planet is monogamous, or monogamous showing. Yeah, like,
I don't know nothing about the rest of the world.
Where is non-monogamy the norm? Nowhere. Maybe some weird fucking tribe somewhere, non-monogamy is the norm, but it's not in the world.
I would love to know what it's like in those tribes where they don't have, like, the modesty things that we do. Like, you just walk around with a boner. And you just, like, you want to fuck someone, you just do.
I think the want-to-fuck-someone-just-do thing is usually not great. I think it's often...
That's what, rape, then?
Often, yeah.
Not cool.
I think that's probably how that goes. I don't think it exists outside of that. Because, like, misogyny is pretty deep-rooted in just about every culture, it seems. Even tribal culture is male-dominated. So that's where that would lead, I think, the whole have sex with whoever you want thing. That's probably where that goes. But the modesty thing is, that's all cultural. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's even remotely a thing people in tribes that just walk around basically naked.
Right.
I don't think they even think of it as anything to be ashamed or embarrassed
about. In
those
places, if there is any sort of modesty, it's literally just the genitals. Like,
yeah.
Boobs are not part of that.
No.
They are to feed children.
That's kind of just societal, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's definitely not... It's definitely not a natural thing to be ashamed about. Nudity or anything like that. Because, like, we're born naked, and for the huge balance of history, we didn't just have clothes. Like, we were naked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we've kind of developed on our own. Modesty and shame of the human body. But I don't think it's even a thing that they consider would be a thing in cultures like that. Back to the movie, though. Pearl wipes off her makeup. She's sad and broken. Okay, so this happens in, like, real time, how we're going to talk about this. This is how it happened. 50 minutes in, and this is not even a horror movie yet. We're halfway through. At this point in the movie, I paused the movie to see how far into the movie we are.
And we were halfway.
And we were halfway, and we were talking about, like, this is not even a horror movie mm-hmm. yet. Like, we were actively having this conversation while the movie is going
yes.
on. I pause it, see where we are, restart it, right? We get Lorraine wants to be in the movie now, okay? Her boyfriend says no. This is where we kind of disagreed. You think he... A little bit of a hypocrite, which is true, about the whole smut thing. But I don't think he reacted poorly to being forced to film his significant other cheat on him.
It's not cheating via what he literally just said. It's acting.
Right, but the problem is he didn't really see it like that. He just saw these as worse people.
Wasn't he in the conversation saying, yeah, it's just
right, because acting. He didn't want to offend the people that he looked down on.
So you think he was lying then?
When?
When he was saying that it was fine that they do it?
I think he didn't care either way that they were doing it because
it didn't affect him. And now it does.
They're beneath him. Like when they went out on the porch and he said, she's not like them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he always saw them as whores, basically. So that's, they're beneath him.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. But she definitely cheats on him. Like she does.
All right.
He's forced to film it.
I agree with that. That him being forced to film it and be a part of it or whatever, and it. Yeah, that's not cool. But also, it is her choice. And him being a hypocrite and saying no is just going to make her want to do it more, like what he said. Like, you try to fucking stop her, she's going to do it.
Maybe. But yeah, I don't think he reacted poorly in any way by leaving, by being upset, crying in the shower. That's fine. He was forced to film his fucking girlfriend cheating on him. It's mm-hmm. not what he signed up for. So it's just his fucking movie. His name's on it. Like, I think that's a much bigger deal than maybe he's given credit for. Like, that sucks. Even if he was an asshole.
Like, if he felt that strongly about sex not being just sex, then why is he filming that kind of film?
Because he doesn't care about those people. It's much easier to watch people that you don't care about do something you don't approve of than someone you care about doing something you don't approve of.
I guess.
Like, think about one of our kids doing something we don't approve of versus some other random child in Shemokin.
Right, but like, okay, if I think about my kid smoking weed versus some random kid, that there's still a difference in just thinking about it. And like, I'm now giving the weed to the random kid. Like, I wouldn't be a part of that because I don't agree with it. I wouldn't be selling the weed to the other kid.
So how about,
and then bitching about my kid smoking weed.
How about instead of weed, it was cigarettes?
You
worked at a gas station. Would you care that you sold some random guy cigarettes?
Work at a gas station?
Yeah, like my mom.
That's so different, though.
It's exactly the
same
as weed.
He's not just... No, I'm saying, like, he's not just a filmographer for some big movie studio, and they tell him what he has to film. He chose to film this. He
right.
chose this specific
well,
movie.
I don't think he has much choices in the matter. He's not, like, some big director. I think he's just taken an opportunity that's presented itself.
So it wasn't his movie?
I mean, it's his movie, but he's being paid to make it.
So it was the other guy's main idea?
Yes.
He's just
the guy with the technical know-how to do it.
Okay. That's a little better then.
I mean, I would write a fucking love story if somebody paid me to. That's not what I would want to write. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd like to see you try to write a love story.
Oh my god, it'd be so romantic.
There's not a romantic bone in your body.
Oh,
knock
god.
It off.
Oh my god, it would be so awesome. Anyway, you can't suddenly change the story halfway through according to this guy.
And then they immediately do.
This is one of my favorite fucking scenes in any movie because they tell you exactly what happened up until this point in the movie and they tell you what's going to happen after this point in the movie, but they don't say it like that.
Yeah, this is the turning point right
yes.
here when she decides she wants to be a part of the movie.
So they tell you, he explains what has been done up until this point.
Yeah, this is the movie I was making. This is the vibe I was making. And now...
here we fucking go.
Yeah.
Strap in. But it's crazy that it was exactly when we decided that this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it couldn't have been done at a more perfect time. Like, I'm not saying he did it for me, but like, I'm sure we're not the only people that have watched this movie and be like, what
yeah,
the fuck
yeah,
is with this
movie? Yeah, we were
getting
to this point here that we're like, is this a fucking horror movie? What
yeah.
is going on?
He drew it out perfectly to the point where people started thinking that.
Because mm-hmm.
I didn't even, It's not like I brought it up. Like, I was the only one that thought of it, and you guys, we like kind of came up with it independently and started talking about it. Yeah. Like, that this does not feel like a horror movie.
Yeah. Like, so, when does this turn into a horror movie?
So he played it up until this point, explained that that's exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she brings up Psycho, and she brings up the MacGuffin. In this case, the MacGuffin is the porno itself. You know what a MacGuffin is? It's just some random plot point or device that seems important, but as the movie goes on, it's less important. The mm-hmm. porno is so important in the first part of this movie, does not matter at all. Remember Pulp Fiction? That fucking briefcase is the MacGuffin. So he explains that he did that trick. It's really fucking brilliant stuff.
It was. I agree.
And he also pats himself on the back and says he's making something better than a horror movie. That's what one of the characters says.
He did.
I love it. I just fucking love how they describe the exact movie in the movie at the exact point we realized, like, what the fuck's going on here. So Wayne wants a meeting with RJ. Wayne is the executive producer. RJ is the director, which is what I just said. Wayne wants her in it. He just wants more pussy, like, in the movie. That's all he wants. Seems they're about to change both movies halfway, though, because she's in her underwear. So they do. They change the porno halfway. They change this halfway through.
And she is in underwear that has a day of the week on the
back. Sunday underwear. Pearl has awakened. Lorraine is in bed alone while RJ cries in the shower.
By the way, when Pearl was laying in that bed, I was very scared she was going to start flicking a bean. I was not okay. The way she was so disappointed that Grandpa said no, and she got in that bed all by herself, covered herself up, got all nice and cozy, and I was like, dear God, no.
So since this movie does kind of do that, half of it's not a horror movie, half of it is, there's not a lot of room for tension. I don't think there was much tension in this movie, despite it being scary. It was real quick. They didn't build a whole hell of a lot of tension. Right. And that's not a criticism. You don't necessarily have to have a super tense movie for it to be scary or good.
I think the tensest part was with the alligator.
Yeah, no, the tensest part for you was the idea that you were going to see this old woman's tits.
God!
Or she was going to masturbate.
There's any sex with the old lady at all, period. And we still had to have it. And I'm not okay. I'm still not okay. I'm traumatized.
Yeah. That was the most tense part of the movie for you. So there was a lot of tension in this movie.
For me.
You brought it up.
Often.
So often. Like, regularly, all the time, whenever she was on the screen, doing anything.
Well,
she could be stabbing somebody with a pitchfork, like, oh God, I hope she doesn't masturbate.
It's a thing for me.
Yeah. It clearly is. So RJ's leaving, and Blue Oyster Cult plays on the radio in the van. He almost hits Pearl. This song lands in every fucking movie it's in. This song belongs in every movie. It's so fucking good. Any horror movie that has this song in it is instantly improved. This has to be the greatest spooky song.
Okay.
It has to be. And boy, did they play the whole fucking song.
They did. Maybe even twice.
No, not twice.
It was a really long scene.
He's kind of concerned about Pearl. He gets out. She moans in his ear. I think she kisses his neck.
Yeah, he's like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, I thought he was going to have some makeup, or not makeup sex, revenge sex with her. Like, I'll show that young hot girl.
He doesn't seem the type
no.
for revenge sex. He seems the type to, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
The most revenge he was going to do was leave them there without a car.
Yeah. And I don't even think he would have done that. I think he would have came back. He's kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
She can show him what she's capable of, though. You know what she's capable of?
Stabbing him in the neck.
Very badly.
A lot.
Yeah. She goes a little crazy here.
There's blood everywhere.
Yeah, she goes ahead and climbs on top of him. Not to fuck him, just to stab him a bunch.
Yeah.
I don't think he's in fucking shape now.
No. The blood would not be able to go down there because it is all coming out of his neck.
Yeah, it's spraying everywhere. It's all over the headlights, so this whole scene's in red.
Red,
which
yeah.
was an awesome choice. Like it. Love it. I love all the cinematography choices in this movie. I love all the overhead shots. I love those random ones where they flashback a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to a different scene, cut back to the same, cut back. I like that. I love the overheads. I think we talked about it in 30 Days a Night, how I love the overhead scene in that. I love that shit. And in Malignant, that one with the fucking back of a head face fucking thing, where they did that one running through the house overhead scene.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love that shit. More of that shit in movies for me.
Okay.
I want every fucking movie to look like the first Grand Theft Auto game where you just look down. Lorraine finally wakes up noticing RJ is gone. Another jump scare.
There was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine and Wayne are going to look for RJ. Wayne is in his tighty-whities.
And you were upset that you were going to have to say Lorraine and Wayne.
Yeah, thank God they split up. 70s tighty-whities are fucking weird, man.
They're way weirder. They were full coverage in the back, very little in the front.
Way weirder, man. I don't know. They don't look too comfortable. 70s underwear look fucking weird.
Yeah, they were weird.
I don't like them. They look much more dorky than tighty-whities do now. I went through a phase with tighty-whities. I'm glad I'm out of it. I'm weird because I went from boxers to boxer briefs to tighty-whities to boxer briefs. I'm back to boxers now. I don't know what the fuck happened.
I
don't know.
Don't ask me.
But I'm back to boxers. I'll wear boxer briefs in a pinch, but those tighty-whities are fucking out of here. Not a chance am I wearing those fucking things.
You got some ball hammock ones.
Love those. Those are cool. Those are the only boxer briefs I wear. Lorraine runs into Howard, who is looking for his wife. Wayne steps on a nail like fucking like Marv in Home Alone. Why is this so much worse than when Marv did it?
Oh, no, it was bad.
It's way more gross.
I've done that before. You ever stepped on a nail?
Yeah. Not like that.
Yeah, like, was it just like a little bit, or did you have to like pull it out?
No, when I picked my foot up, I think it came out. I think the nail was in something. I think it was one of those treehouse fucking...
I stepped on a nail, a loose nail, went all the way into my foot, and I had to grab it and pull it out.
I don't like it. Ah! I think what makes this the grossest is because you see the top of his foot push up.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, though. Like, great stuff, but... Don't like it. Do like it, but don't like it. You know what I fucking mean. He's so pissed. He insults the cows. He calls the cows cheeseburgers like they did something wrong. You motherfucker. You didn't even belong in there. He looks through some holes in the wall and takes a pitchfork to the eyeballs.
That one got me.
Yeah. Not only did that one get you, it gets you again when they do that weird where I was just talking about how they flash quickly and flash back and flash quickly and flash back. They do that with his eyes when she pulls the fucking pitchfork out of his head and it got you. Lorraine is helping Howard find Pearl. He sends her to the basement for a flashlight, and we hop back to Wayne just to jump scare Carolyn again. This is when it happened. If it was the only point of it, just to scare the shit out of you. Pearl covers him in hay, like she's covering her kill like a fucking bear does, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't bears do that shit?
I don't know. That was weird, though.
It's fucking odd. She finds the flashlight, but now she's locked in the basement, which, who called that? Was that you?
Me.
Yeah. Just, you knew it.
Mm-hmm. I was like, he's locking her in there.
Yeah. There's a dead boy hanging on the wall, which I'm assuming is what that cop finds in the beginning. Although our assistant disagrees, I disagree with her. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, and you thought it was her boyfriend.
At first, yeah, because you couldn't really... He's all fucked up.
Yeah, and I was like, how the hell did that old lady drag him down there and string him up?
Yeah, well, somebody did at some point. But yeah.
Right, but if they were holding him hostage, which is what I think they were doing...
Yeah, probably.
Then they probably did it together.
Jackson notices a flashlight outside. It's Howard. Jackson offers help, naked at the door with his massive dick hanging down to his knees. It was arguably as long as Howard's shotgun.
And you made the joke that you're surprised that it didn't jump scare me because it was so big.
I said in my notes, it was so big I'm surprised it wasn't the fifth Carolyn jump scare because she was appalled by the size of this dick.
It was just hanging there. Not hard or nothing.
10 inches of limp dick. Like, holy fuck, bro. Pearl stalking a sleeping Maxine. She's not killing. She's uncovering. Pearl is naked in bed with her. You were out of your fucking mind when this was happening.
Yeah.
I didn't count her boobs because they hung so low. I don't think we even saw a nipple. I don't think we did. So I didn't count them.
No. Because she's so old, her nipples is down to her knees.
Yeah.
I mean, she pulled that nightie down quite a bit, but you never seen
no
titties.
Cut away before you saw a nipple. I don't think they wanted to do the nipple work on the prosthetics. So Pearl apparently is bisexual. She's lightly caressing Maxine with her bloody fingers.
Yeah.
This is upsetting.
And it has been a while since she killed that dude. Why is it still wet?
Don't know.
So wet.
She's probably...
Ew,
doing a little DJ routine on herself.
Stop.
Jackson, searching the swampland for Pearl, finds himself a V-dub bug half-submerged. I'm assuming that's Basement Boy's car.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks Howard's in some deep brush and he may have drowned, but it's not true. It was just a fucking...
Yeah, he was all worried and was going to save him and stuff. And what did they get him?
Yeah,
dead.
Shot. Yeah. Lorraine's trying to escape. She found a hatchet. This is a terrible place to trap her, by the way, because there's an entire fucking tool.
I know, and that's what I said. When she realized she was trapped on there, I was like, the whole fucking tool winch is down there. Just go get something and start getting, like, just get a screwdriver. Yeah, take the doors off the hinges. So she grabs an axe.
Which she did. Howard did not drown. Howard can't give her what she wants. And the last bohemian that stayed here was the same, being half naked and enticing his wife. All this man asked for was discretion. Do you think discretion saves their lives? Or are these guys just fucking dead anyway?
I mean, I think if they showed up because they were going to go hunting, and they went hunting and they came back and they went to bed and they could just leave. So they didn't entice the woman, but they were doing sexy stuff.
Yeah, they were doing sexy stuff. But he said that guy was just half naked. Like, he just had his shirt off.
I don't know.
At some point, something's going to entice that old lady because she is so fucking horny she can't take it.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything that saves these people. Except being able to beat up this old couple.
So she's like the horny teenagers at high school where you can't even show your fucking shoulders because...
Yeah. They can't control themselves.
Cannot.
That's why we have dress codes.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots Jackson dead. Maxine wakes up to Pearl in her bed and screams. This wakes up Bobby Lane, who I forgot existed at this point. Mm-hmm. She's been out of this movie for a very long time.
Yeah. Sleeping through the whole damn thing.
Lorraine almost escapes, but Howard destroys her fingers. It's weird. We'll talk about it more when it happens, that like... She's not the main character of this movie.
The blonde girl?
No, Jenna Ortega, the one in the basement.
Oh,
you would expect her to be, but I think that's based on what she's done since. Two Scream movies and fucking Wednesday. But it's weird for her to not be the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's in all the promo stuff, I don't know how much of that is now versus then, though. That fucking preacher is back on TV. Maxine goes right to the cocaine. This really helps her. This movie is positive PR for cocaine.
Yes.
It cocaine is awesome according to this movie. And in the 70s, I probably would agree. Now you don't even know what's in that shit.
Yeah.
If you could get some of that 70s cocaine where it's just cocaine and like like fucking baking soda or baby laxative or whatever the fuck they put in there with it, you're probably all right. You're probably all right.
Not now.
Not now. Stay the fuck away from it because who knows what's in it. Pearl is at the edge of the lake. Bobby Lane covers her up and comforts her. Pearl slaps her and calls her a whore.
Yeah.
Like, lady.
Right?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
She's like, oh, my Nana gets confused sometimes. She's like, whore!
I ain't confused, slut! Get eaten by an alligator! Pushes her into the fucking water.
Alligator instantly eats her.
It was ready. All of this because she's old and gross and his dick doesn't work. That's what all this is about.
Mm-hmm.
She's old
That's
and gross
the moral
and that
of the story.
Dick does not work. All this shit could have been avoided if that dude's dick worked and she was not old and gross. Probably even being old and gross, if his dick just worked, it might be okay. If he could just fuck her regularly.
Though she's pretty fucking old, dude. They're probably going to need some lube.
That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, fuck no. Down the two, Lorraine and Maxine, and they're a-coming for Maxine. Pearl doesn't want Lorraine. Maxine is something special. You know what it is? The X Factor. They make it a point that Maxine has the X factor multiple times in this movie, which is why it's called X.
Mm-hmm.
Howard wants to give it to her, but he's tired too. He does love her. She is special, but he can't give her what she wants anymore.
His heart can't take it.
No, but he does grope her gross old titties.
Ugh, Rich, please, can we just skip this scene?
Undresses her.
Oh, God.
He's going to try, even if his heart can't take it.
He's like, but what if I can't? She's like, you can, I know it. Oh, God.
Maxine is under the bed.
That was so bad.
So she has to listen to all this.
Oh, the whole fucking scene. It was so bad.
It's very fitting, though, because they weren't
You could
discreet.
See it. He pulls his nasty ass. He didn't even take his clothes off. He just pulled him down around his ankles.
I think the only place they failed was, like, his legs are all, like, filled with sores or whatever. But her legs looked like young girl legs.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
They didn't really. They didn't look terribly like old lady
look
legs.
Because I didn't want to. I'm not okay with the whole thing. I'm not okay with like being in close proximity to other people having sex when you know I'm not.
Yeah.
Invited or you know, and that is the problem for me. And the fact that they're 800 years old was even worse.
To be fair, they weren't discreet either.
Oh no, they weren't.
So,
oh.
She slithers away and flees to the van.
It's so bad.
The keys are missing from the van and the tire has been slashed. She finds RJ, though, so that's apparently someone else in the basement. Because at the time, we thought it was probably RJ, but because you couldn't really tell. Maxine hears the scream of Lorraine and Freezer. Lorraine is freaking the fuck out. She runs out the door. Shotgun blast. Jump scare.
Dead.
You don't expect her to die.
I know.
But again.
But she also wasn't the main character, so.
No, she wasn't even that important in the movie. Mm-mm. But she's all over the fucking promotion for this shit. Because she got more famous afterwards, mm-hmm. I'd imagine. Now we're down to just Maxine. Howard is dragging Lorraine's body in, and she makes a noise. You know what happens? He has a fucking heart attack.
Yeah. So he was able to do the deed.
Yes.
With his nasty-ass wife, with that nasty-ass old dick.
Yes.
And Lorraine won't quite dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he kills over and dies because of it.
Maxine gets the truck keys. She's got a gun on Pearl. She pulls the trigger.
It was the gun from the truck.
Foreshadowing.
And it was indeed empty.
We weren't sure if it was going to be empty or not. You were positive.
Yes.
I wasn't sure.
He said it was empty.
Right, but so did Howard, and his was not. I would never carry an empty gun. You are asking for it.
Because
if you're
ever, you should not carry a gun unless you plan to use it.
If you're ever in a situation, if you're ever in a situation where you have to brandish a firearm, you
better be ready to use it.
Need to be ready to use that fucking thing.
Because if not, it just became a weapon for them to use on you.
Yeah, or if it's empty, you've given someone else permission to shoot you.
Yeah.
Because you pulled a gun on them. So you better fucking be ready to shoot somebody if you're going to pull out a gun. Pearl picks up the shotgun. She misses and blows herself through the fucking door.
Oh, my
God. She goes flying.
She goes flying. It was so funny.
That was
fantastic.
Hilarious.
Instantly breaks a hip. That was great.
Maxine, for some reason, just sits on the fucking floor instead of running.
Well, she had just got shot at by a shotgun. She was a little... She had herself a night, okay? Yeah, there was a lot that happened.
It's been a day.
And she's still high.
Yeah. Maxine... Oops. She eventually gets up and walks past a broken-hipped Pearl.
She's like, help me,
but
my
hip. She just shushes her. And we don't know if she's going to let Pearl live. That question is answered very directly.
I called that one, too.
Yes. Maxine crushes Pearl's head with the truck.
I was like, run her ass over.
Twice.
Yeah.
And we get one last shout-out for Cocaine as she drives away.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cocaine is the real fucking hero of this movie.
Anytime
she needs to do something extraordinary. Anytime she needs to do something extraordinary, she takes a hit of cocaine and fucking nails it.
Mm-hmm.
We head back to now. The preacher is talking. And he's talking about his daughter who left. Who's his daughter? Maxine. What do you know?
Dun, dun, dun.
One of the boys found a camera. What do you think is on it?
The porno.
According to the sheriff, by the looks
Nothing
of it.
Nothing important.
By the looks of everything, one goddamn fucked up horror picture. Loved it. I'm like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. It was a goddamn fucked up horror picture. So that's the end. Perfect. I gave it 5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. This was great. It was fun. It was kind of scary. It was clever.
It was disgusting.
It was disgusting.
It was traumatizing.
I was not traumatized.
I am.
You were traumatized by it. This is the best new horror movie I've seen in quite a while.
If it... She just wasn't so old and gross.
Well, just think.
Torturing me the whole time, knowing that I was going to have to see her.
Just think. In the prequel, she's young and virile. So if you have to see her naked then, it'll be fine.
Looks like that one's going to be way worse.
It looks like that one's going to be a little, like, zany.
Yeah.
Like, more, like, goofball comedy. Whereas this one was more serious. I think this, which is fine. I don't think they all need to feel the same, especially.
Yeah, I don't think we're
going to
get half the movie of no killing on that one.
No, I think it'll be something different. But I don't really want them to be the same, especially since it's going to be in a different time
period.
Well,
you specifically said that too. You don't like people making the same movies.
So. Right. X was a moderate success, bringing in $15.1 million on a budget of $1 million. So it made 15 times its budget, though its budget was pretty small. Still a success.
Mm-hmm.
And led to 2 fucking more movies, so. Critics. Love it. 94% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. 75% audience score. So, like, I think this is the second movie in a row where I'm like, what the fuck's with the audience score on this? Why is the critic score
better? Maybe a lot of the audience were traumatized, like me.
Maybe. Those old titties.
Stormy says hi.
Like we said, we've got a prequel and a sequel coming up. and we will almost certainly cover them both.
Great. Lovely. Grand. Awesome.
Hi. We're busy.
Like I said, I loved it. It's one of my favorite movies, honestly. I thought it was awesome. I think I could rewatch it over and over. It's so fun.
Weirdo.
Yes.
Don't watch it with me.
No.
I have nightmares about old granny tits.
Right. Well, I'm trying to get through other movies I should have seen by now. Like, I just watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I'm not, like, the biggest Western fan, but I've been watching a lot of Westerns because I feel like it's a blind spot of mine. I can't necessarily talk a whole lot about Westerns with people, so I've been watching more Westerns.
But not rom-coms. Why can't you just pick more rom-coms? Watch them with me.
Well, I watch the Westerns when you're not here. I'm certainly not going to watch fucking rom-coms when you're not here.
Watch them with me.
We can watch rom-coms. Pick some. I give you guys the opportunity to pick movies every single time before I pick one that you hate.
Yeah, but if you hate stuff, then you are miserable and you make everyone else miserable.
But you don't know that I'm going to hate it, is the problem. You can't tell. I might like it. I can't tell what you're going to like, because it's nothing. I don't think you even like movies. Do you have anything else to add?
No.
Then say goodbye, Carolyn.
Goodbye, Carolyn.